Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Well, I need to ask y'all's forgiveness for arriving so late and not having time to change, but it's a great blessing to be in the house of the Lord, and it's greatly encouraged coming along on the trip. We listened to Brother Sonny's sermon on encouragement, and that encouraged us, and I've been encouraged by Brother Stephen's preaching tonight. As I grow older, truly the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we stand for becomes ever more precious. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. The word glory simply means weight or heaviness. In other words, something is glorious in scriptural terms if it has a greater weight or impact upon us. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is to be that unto each of us. He's to have a greater impact or a greater influence. Is actually to be so impactful that it would take us off the path we're on to the path of the Lord. If something was glorious, you remember, we could speak of the glory of the Lord when the children of Israel were traveling. And there was the pillar of fire, and there was the very evidence of the Lord that was manifest in that way. It was that which drew their attention, in fact, even led them. So it's not only that it's weighty that became more impactful to them, but that very example shows that it indeed was light, or it is that which gives insight and gives us the direction that we should go. So I could ask you this evening, what is glorious to you? Now, we would all say that the Lord is glorious. But actually, what is the most glorious to us is that which is impacting us and that which is giving us light or guiding us. And I'll have to admit to you, many times I could have answered correctly with regards to what I believe doctrinally, but functionally, day to day, many things are more glorious to me than Christ. You say, Brother Dickey, that's heretical. Yeah, it is. But you're in the same boat whether you realize it or not. Because I can know what I ought to say sometimes, and then if it's going to cost me, say, $5,000, you know, I might try to stretch it just a little. You say, Brother Dickey, you're in bad shape. Well, I really am. Make such poor decisions simply because the glory of the Lord is not as impactful or as insightful as he should be. And that's simply because we perhaps have forgotten or we have never seen how glorious the Lord is. Well, let's notice, first of all, just the fact that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious. Just his person himself. There are people like that. There are people that have an impact upon us. There could be someone come into this room tonight and maybe because of what they've done, what they've accomplished, maybe it would be their personality. And the whole room would brighten up, you know. I can try to get you all to smile tonight, and you know, I'll try like I would. I'm probably not going to get the job done, but there could be someone who would be able to do that. That would be someone who, in a sense, had glory. And our Savior, just because of who he was, had a great impact. In fact, we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, of course, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the glory of the Lord we cannot look upon his face because of his brightness and because of his great power and might. But here it speaks to us that the second person in the Trinity was the Word and with God and was God. So impactful was the Lord Jesus Christ that when he came to earth, who he was in heaven, though he was going to be born from the womb of the Virgin Mary, he, though his glory was veiled, it was still phenomenal who he was. When I was just a kid, this will show you how old I am, President Eisenhower came to town. That was back in the 50s. And it was an amazing thing. Well, I remember the street that he was going to parade down and all the cleanup that went into that. My dad was friends of the carpenter that was called in to the mansion where he was going to a stay of a very important person in the community. And they said because of all the silver that was going to put on the table, they had to build a special supports for the weight of the china and the silver so that it wouldn't break the table down. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they said. Well, what's all of that got to do with the glory of Christ? Even our present dignitaries, there's a sense of weightiness that is given to them, a sense in which they impact and lead. When Christ came to earth, the angels broke through what was just a common sky and said, "Peace on earth and goodwill to men." And they said, "Glory to God in the highest." And the shepherds that were out on the street, out in the field by night, their direction was changed, was it not? And they said, "Let us go see what's taken place." Friends, if you saw the heavens filled with the glory, the brightness, the weightiness, suddenly you would no longer be just going through the mundaneness of life. Suddenly little children would no longer be bored. Suddenly it would be the job that's just every day would be changed and altered because of one who was impacting as the Savior was. And so John 1:14 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Lord Jesus Christ's person is glorious. Hebrews 1, "God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past by the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds." This little babe born in a manger from the womb of the Virgin Mary, that was announced with the glory of the heavens being opened and the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest." This passage says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Regardless of what you want to say about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you have to admit that being the second person in the Trinity and being God himself manifest in the flesh, that when you look upon him, you look upon God. because the passage says he is the express image of his person. How weighty, how impactful is this babe in a manger? How impactful was this man that wore his sandals through the dirty streets of Jerusalem? How much influence should he have upon us? This passage says that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. And the word there means that it's not just that the earth was spun into spinning on its axis and then you let loose and like a top it doesn't go down. It's saying the Lord Jesus Christ is presently continuing to keep the earth spinning. It's the earth in its orbit. The Lord is specifically, through His Son, involved in creation, according to John 1, and this passage, in the sense, friends, that He has not just put creation into existence and then gone on a picnic. He is involved in bringing the sun up every morning. And, of course, it's setting every evening. I don't know what you believe about the sovereignty of God, but I believe I'll live as long as He allows me to live. Acts 17 says so plainly, in Him we live and move and have our being. This person, this God manifest in the flesh, was revealed to a degree when the disciples, three of them, went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? There they saw. His garments were white. His face did shine. The scriptures describe it as white and glistening. It was such a brightness. Moses saw the Lord when he was up on the Mount, right? And it was so impactful, it was so weighty, that even when he came down, Moses' face had to be covered so that they could even look at him. You're talking about a dull, drab, disinterested, a mundane life. The only problem is we need the presence, we need the impact of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not the new job you need to pray for. It's not the new wife you think you need. It's not the new pair of shoes you must have. It's, my friends, the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter, writing in this behalf, speaks to us in 2 Peter and said, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I'm reading to you right now from a man that saw the glory of God, that saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. The glory that they saw in Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration was the glory from the excellent glory that was shining upon him. And we heard this voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Oh, friends, tonight, no matter where you are, no matter what difficulty you're enduring, no matter what the problem of anyone you know, the answer is found in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been those in dungeons who were made to sense the glory of the Lord, and things were okay. There were those who have been in illnesses that would be beyond the ability to endure, and the glory of God
Now, we've been depicting it as the brightness and as the weightiness, or that which impacts us. But in all reality, the glory of the Lord in His person is displayed further in what He accomplished while He was securing our salvation. That's right. It brings about all of His attributes. Salvation reveals the glory of His person. Anybody want to go to Ephesians 1? Isn't it amazing as He wraps this most glorious passage of Scripture up? It says in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. It's a glorious thing. It's so weighty. It's so enlightening, so invigorating, so uplifting to think that before time, this one who is all complete in Himself, the Trinity who loved one another and do love one another, that they could in the Trinity itself be totally satisfied within themselves. They had fellowship. You have admiration. You have the blessing of considering always the other. And yet they turn from that very moment in time, before time, if we can say that, and chose a people out of the fallen race of Adam. And then it says, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory. His person is glorious. It's so weighty just to think there's a person who is perfect, who always loves, when love is to be at hand, who always hates with a perfect hatred when hatred is to be. And this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, the second person in the Trinity, in His character Himself, is not selfish. God the Father chose a people and they were predestinated to be conformed to the image of Him. And it says, it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then He goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through His will, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. We come on down to the very verse we read, and it says that we should be to the praise of His glory. What's He saying? He said the choice of God was to His glory. The salvation that Christ secured was to the Lord's glory, or to the glory of Christ, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And then He sums it up that the work of the Holy Spirit is to the praise of the glory. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance when the Spirit enters our heart, when we're blessed to believe upon the things that He's given us. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, friends, is that weighty to you tonight? Is that insightful? Or is it just kind of... been there, know that. Friends, what was it a few weeks ago when, what was that lottery? I mean, it was the talk of the church, you know. People went out and bought tickets that hadn't bought tickets before. I was tempted to buy a ticket. Just because I knew I had to go home that night, I didn't succumb to temptation, but...
something like 180 billion. I don't know. What was it?
A billion and two.
It was a bunch of money. Friends, this is greater than that. Do we sense
the ruler, the sustainer of the universe, look down upon lost and ruined sinners and chose each one individually, that includes you, which is evidenced by your hope in Him, sent His Son to die on the cross for you, and then comes and lives in your heart. Friends, some of us won't walk across the street to help somebody that's a little lower than us. The God of glory came to earth for us. This is glorious. It should impact us and guide us. He said He did it for the praise of His glory. That's why He did it. He didn't do it to say, we can say, we're right on the doctrine. All others are wrong. He did it so He would be praised. So He would receive glory. And to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. So the glory of God is seen in His person. The glory of God is seen in salvation. The glory of God is seen in our sanctification. What is it that would get me to be what I'm supposed to be? Try harder. Well, I'm sure we all need to do that. Get into the Word more. I'm sure we all need to do that. Be in church all the time. I'm sure we all need to do that. Be around those that would have a good influence on us. I'm sure we all need to do that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. The Lord is that Spirit. It's talking about Moses. And when he saw the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, are changed into the same. Now listen to what he's saying. Viewing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory, seeing how beautiful He is. Now you know you're this way. Somebody has a new suit. I say, wow, I'd really like to have a suit like that. Somebody gets a new car. I say, man, I'd like to have a car like that. I mean, by that, which in our estimation is considered great or phenomenal, amazing. We desire to be that way. Within our hearts, planted in the new birth, is the desire to be holy, to be good, to be honest, to be righteous, to be tender, to be kind. And he says, we with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. That says it never changes. It just keeps on going. In other words, I need to view His glory today, so I'll be inspired to be like I'm supposed to be. I need to view His glory tomorrow, so I'll be inspired what He needs to be. In fact, when you go to the Word of God, what do you look for? Too often we look for, well, this person was great, I want to be like him. That person was great, I want to be like... That's not what the Bible's written for. When you read about David, you're to see how glorious the Lord is in blessing David. When you read Moses, you're to be reading about how great God was in blessing Moses. And when we turn to the book, we're to be seeing Christ on every page and how glorious He is. In fact, to the degree I see His glory, I'll be impacted to be like Him. Husbands and wives, Ephesians 5, right?
children, obey your parents in the Lord, right?
I mean, that's what it's about. You and I tonight, more than anything else we can imagine or think of, need to see the Lord. That's what will impact us. To see the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, He is the express image of His glory. So not only His person, not only in the truths of salvation, but in the blessings of sanctification. And what do you think heaven's going to be? Golden streets? Well, that'll be fine with me. See a glass? I guess it'll sparkle. Especially if it's by a golden street, right? Friends, it'll be the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what heaven's going to be. Revelation chapter 1. He hath made us kings and priests unto God the Father, and unto Him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. And then John, looking when he was on the Isle of Patmos into heaven itself, he saw the Lord in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. John can't even find words to fully convey the majesty of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a little lady when I first came into the church at age 12. She had actually come west on a covered wagon.
Ooh. I was just like, wow.
But it wasn't all of that. It was the tenderness, the self-sacrifice, the interest in others. Just the holiness somehow of this shriveled little woman. Friends, you have people in your lives. Maybe it's an old uncle. Maybe it's a granddad. Maybe it's a sainted mother in Israel. Or maybe it's your own mother. Friends, when we get to glory, this person of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to mesmerize us. In fact, it's been said that worship is entranced spiritual fascination. Catch the definition. Entranced spiritual fascination at the majesty of the glory of Christ. Are we worshiping? Worship is entranced fascination at the glory of Christ. That's what heaven will be. Nobody will have to say bow. We will bow. We'll be in wonder and astonishment forever and ever and ever. 2 Corinthians 10:17 speaks to us then some words of admonition in this way. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we're going to glory in something, it's to glory in God. In fact, if you compare the weight and enlightenment, there is nothing else to glory in. Nothing at all. And then, lastly, from Romans chapter 8, and we need this, I reckon, sum it all up tonight. I reckon. I would have to draw a line and have this be the summation of it all. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Nothing this side of heaven, in all of its negativity, if we draw a line here as zero, and you take your troubles are a negative 10. It doesn't mean in heaven you're going to have a positive 10. He said the difficulties here are not worthy to be compared. In other words, it would be more like the glories up here are like a trillion. And our negative is just a 10. They don't correspond. They're like out of the ballpark. You can't fathom them within the same thought. That's the glory of Christ. That's who we are. Last verse. Preachers do that, you know.
I figure if the Lord gave it to me, I'm supposed to give it to you, right? Hadn't thought of that till now.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. John's an old, aged man. Remember, this was the man that they would boil in oil and he would live. Remember, this is the man that in his ancient wisdom, perhaps in his 90s, he writes to people having gone through everything in life. He's giving them the last word. And what does he say? The rest of the book, so the commentators would say, had just been wisdom. But now this old man that perhaps can't even gather breath, he speaks boldly. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear. Here's the glory. It was like Moses on the mount. When we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Just his very person will change us forever and ever. And ever. And that'll be heaven. Let us live for his glory now.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.